Hey, welcome to Lighthouse Niagara. We hope you enjoy the sermon.
Yet tonight, I hope to finish, but we're going to be looking at chapters 10 and possibly into 11. And as we go, we'll see if we can finish off. But tonight, I want to focus on two things tonight. The light that can be in the darkness, that should be in the darkness, and also the power within us. Tonight, even as the word was given, prophetic word being given, we recognize the importance of who Jesus Christ is and the power that is within us, the authority that we have in Jesus' name. So two brothers, that there is this aspect of battle that would take place, and we as a whole, do we recognize the power that is within us? We need to. And so with that, before we get into Revelations 10, I just want to read quickly from John chapter 1, from 1 to 13. And it talks about Jesus, who he is, and the power of his life and an existence to us, and not just 2,000 years ago, but to us today. And this passage refers to the beginning, very beginning, even before creation. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Speaking of Jesus Christ, he is the Word. Just interesting, it's this thing of the word, things that we need to hear. If Jesus is the word, we need to hear the word. We need to have ears to hear what the Lord is saying into our lives, that we would take it in. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So there is this light that is shining in the darkness, and even as man would populate this the globe from Adam and Eve right through till today, there is this aspect of life in him, and there is life which is the light of men that gives light to us. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, Jesus, that all through him might believe. This man, John, was John the Baptist. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, to let us know of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. So John the Baptist was on this planet 2,000 years ago, literally, physically, he walked on this planet. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. This he and him, speaking of Jesus Christ, coming 2,000 years ago, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Who were his own? The Jews. They did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right. We receive Christ. He gives us the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man. So we're not talking about just being born physically. For me, it was 62 plus years ago that I was born. But we are born not of the will of man, but of God, born of God. Praise God. Now, question for you. How can we impact to a greater extent those that are in darkness with the light of life that is in us? Can we impact to those that are in darkness They can't see. They're in darkness. So when you have light coming to darkness, there is this exposing, and oftentimes there's this drawing to the light. And the question is, can we have impact on others regarding the light and the life that is in and through Jesus Christ? So you're saying yes. In fact, and I just want to read from Ephesians 2, verse 10. You and I as believers, you and I as believers are His workmanship. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So every single one of you, as a follower and believer in Jesus Christ, was created to live out certain things that were planned and predestined from before time began. And so it is, the question is, are we walking in what He has planned for us to do? Are we able to impact those people around us? Are we able to do a thing that you might say, well, hey, pastor, I'm not a pastor, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, I'm not this, I'm not that. Can I have an impact on others? And He is saying that He's prepared us for good works, to do good things that God prepared for us beforehand that we should walk in them. Can somebody tell me what it means to walk in the things that He's prepared for us? What does that mean? Julie?
Walk in the love of Christ to demonstrate God's love.
Okay, to walk in the love of Christ to demonstrate His love to those that we may meet. What else does it mean to that those good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them? Sorry? Our calling. So again, what does that mean, our calling? So the call that God has for us in our life. So you want to expand even more on that? So, because some people may not understand, well, calling, what does that mean? To love your enemies. To serve. Sorry? So a mission that God gives you. So this is what I want you to do. And a mission is that I would fulfill what you want me to do. To go out and make disciples. Okay? So part of it, oftentimes we look at things, these things, as being very religious or spiritual. And so then we sort of have these categories or these realms that we go into to sort of play out what is in that room. And so like on a Wednesday night, it's like, okay, on a Wednesday night, I come here. So this is what I do on a Wednesday night. So I can worship. I can hear some preaching and teaching. I can receive from the Lord. I can be encouraged, all that kind of stuff. So when we leave from this place tomorrow, it's like, okay, I got to go to work tomorrow. So this now I go into my workroom. And so I do the things that, well, for the next 8 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours, whatever your workday looks like, you're gonna say, hey, I'm going to be in this place of work. And then we come home and it's okay, so now I'm in my home room, and so I can relax, I can do this and that. And so we have these different compartments that we sort of play out our lives on a daily basis. I want you to know, no, not to compartmentalize who the Lord is in your life according to your day, but rather to be open to say, hey, Lord, whether I'm at home, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at sleep, whatever I may be, wherever I might be, Lord, I desire for your will to be done in my life, the things that you have planned for me at work, the things that you have planned for me at home, the things that you would have me do, the way I should be. Because a lot of times it's like, you know what, when I'm at home and by myself, nobody's watching, nobody's looking, so I'll just do my own thing. And sometimes those things are not necessarily good. But nobody's watching, so I'm not hurting anybody, so that's fine. So I go into this room of this house of my life, and I play out what goes on in different rooms. And so basically the Lord is saying, no, who you are, wherever you are, that it would be onto the Lord. Lord, let what you have for me be played out even when I'm at home by myself. It's amazing how much time we can spend on doing nothing. I don't know about you. And we look forward to, okay, so now it's time for me to do nothing. And so we start to do nothing. Oftentimes it's on our phone or on our whatever. It's like, how much time does this take up in our lives? It's like, wow. And so it's like, this is, so, and we escape into this room, and basically, we, that part of our lives that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them is just sort of, just put on pause for this time. Now, I'm not saying, hey, listen, that hey, there's no time to rest, there's no time to relax, there's no time. In fact, the Lord has told me probably about 2.5-3 years ago now, very specifically, he says, you need to slow down. That was about 2.5 years ago. Just last week, it was, here, you're not slowing down enough, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay you out for the next 5 days. Now, I'll say this. Again, and I think the Lord is saying, you need to have a time of rest. And so one of the things that I found from my bed, I could continue to work and interact with people and do all these different things. And basically, the Lord is saying, you need to rest. So I can remember, I think I shared it. I don't know if I shared it. I wasn't here last week, so I didn't share it with you. But one of the things that I did when I had a phone call come through or whatever that I needed to take, I would go into my office at the hospital. So the office, you might say, oh, wow, because you're a pastor, you had an office at the hospital. It's like, no. So I had to ask, hey, is there a room or just a room that's quiet that I can go to? Because I didn't want to disturb my neighbor, my roommate. He didn't need to hear whatever, because normally I would put it on speakerphone and even thought, it'd be like, he's hearing my end of the conversation. So I went to my office, which happened to be the stairwell where you go up to the third floor, and I sat on the landing for that time, or I'd go walking up and down just to get movement and whatever, and that was my office. I spent, over the course of 5 days, a good chunk of time in my office. So was I resting or whatever as the Lord laid me out? Probably not, no. And so what I'm finding is that even I came out of these 5 days in the hospital is that I'm tired. I am tired. And so I need to take that time to rest so that I can do what the Lord would have me do. He absolutely wants and desires for us to have in the regular week, to have a Sabbath, a day of rest. The Lord desires for us to enjoy a time of refreshing or a time of relaxation or whatever it may be. He desires for that for us. Why? Because our life is not just about ourselves. It's about, Lord, how can I impact others that are in darkness? What can I do? Now, I want you to know, I can tell you right now, I don't think I'm going to get through. But what if we could know our future. What if we could know our future? And I just want to say, to a certain extent, we do know our future. As a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, we know that His will, and I've used this verse many, many times, it's been increased many times over the course of the last year or two, that His will is good and acceptable and perfect. So it playing out in our lives doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be easy, but it is good and it's acceptable to us, and it is perfect for us as individuals, not just for ourselves, but to impact other people's lives. I don't care what your background is. As a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, you, the Lord desires to work through you to impact others. We know that all things work together for good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. That's what the Scripture says. We know that all things will work together. Lord, as we love the Lord, and as we are submitted to His purpose for my life, Lord, let Your will be done in my life. I'm going to be obedient to You. We know that He will always, He is with us always. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We know that. And I'll just say this. In the last few days, I've been dealing with, or last day, just dealing with a situation. And basically, it's about stubborn sheep. Lord has put me into the church as a poimen. You may say, what's poimen? Pastor. And the definition of pastor is a shepherd. A shepherd. Well, I'll tell you right now, I have the bulk of my time is spent not with those that are doing what they should be doing. It is spent the majority of my time one-on-one or whatever is spent with stubborn sheep that say, no, I'm going to do what I want. And so I can just see this little sheep stomping off and just desiring to say, hey, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. And they're just little wee little things. And those little sheep, it's amazing how much they think they know. And so they run off. And so a large part of my job, I shouldn't say my job, but my calling as a pastor, is getting those sheep back and to be patient with them and to be loving on them. And yet, we talked about it this morning in prayer at our 9/11 group. You have pictures of Jesus or the shepherd carrying the sheep. Can I tell you why the shepherd's carrying the sheep? It says, my rod and my staff, they comfort me. So we know a staff has a crook on the end to get that sheep that's run off, to get them out of wherever they've fallen. They're stuck and they can't get out. And here the shepherd comes with his staff and he's able to pull them out. Do you know what the rod is for? I'll tell you, it's a little bit on the extreme side. Basically, it's more than correction. It is correction, but basically, there is a whack and even a breaking of the leg of the sheep. Just one leg. Not all four, whatever. So this little stubborn sheep now cannot walk, and the shepherd is carrying him or her around for the sake of that little sheep to get close to the shepherd. Listen, there might be times in your life you say, Lord, why is all hell breaking loose in my life? It seems like there's no let up. It's just one thing after another. You may need to examine yourself and just say, hey, am I that little sheep that is stubborn, wanting to do my own thing, and the Lord has already broken my leg, and it's hard to move around? And you recognize, you know what? I'm needing to draw closer to the Lord. Can you imagine? It's going to take a while before that sheep is moving, before that leg mends. And that whole time, the shepherd is carrying that sheep and bringing them to the still waters, bringing them into the green pastures, and ministering to that sheep, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally, in their soul and in their spirit. Thank you, Lord, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And sometimes there might be a thing of pain involved. Listen, in Isaiah 46, verse 9, it says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is no other. I am God, and there is none like me." The God that you have asked to come into your life, the God that is in your life, is not like any other God that we can serve. Not like any other God. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." He's basically saying, I know the end from the beginning. And that's without manipulating us. Because he is not confined to time. And so he can step out of time and go to the end of our life or whatever point in our life. Not to say that he doesn't know, but basically, I had to wrap my head around this concept of how can he know my future without manipulating me. And that was the best that I could come up with, is we're stuck in time. You came here roughly an hour ago. 1 hour has passed since you came here. And we're stuck in time. It's playing out. The Lord is not stuck in time. He knows what's going to happen in the next hour and the next hour and the next hour without manipulating us. And so part of it is, Lord, you know the end from the beginning. Lord, let your good and acceptable and perfect will be played out in my life. All right. Okay, that's the introduction. All right. Just quickly, I'll see if I can move quickly here to get at least partway through. We're going to jump to Revelation chapter 10. And it's about the fact that God knows our future. And it says, and the title or the subtitle in to begin this chapter says, "The mighty angel with the little book." I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven. Tell me who this angel is. "Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire." Any idea of who this angel is? Gabriel? Sorry? Gabriel? Michael? Okay, is there any description of an angel having glory? His face was like the sun, which would indicate the degree of his glory. Is there any mention or lifting up of an angel? Okay, so who would you surmise this is? All right, so I heard Jesus right at the beginning, but I just wanted to pull this out. You're absolutely right. This is Jesus. So he is not an angel, but he is being described as this angel coming down from heaven. All right, so listen. "He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land." I'll tell you right now, this is not what an angel can do, a normal, regular angel. "And cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars." Is there any reference to Jesus and a lion? And what does he say? "The lion of the tribe of Judah. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him, his Father in heaven, who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished as declared to his servants, the prophets." So there should be no longer any delay. Now, when we look at Revelations chapter 10, does anybody know roughly at what state we are in time-wise when it comes to tribulation? It's in the end. It's in end times. Just from a few weeks back or whatever, how long is the tribulation? Seven literal years. There's a consecutiveness about the scrolls that is opened up, and each seal, and also the seven trumpets that blow one after the other. But this is just before the seventh trumpet is blown. We're about halfway through. We're 3.5 years into the tribulation. Chapters 10 and 11 will basically take you, it's sort of like a little parenthesis, an aside to take you right through to the end. And then it goes back in chapters 12 and 13 and all that. But it goes, there's this sort of pause to let us know the power of Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished as he declared to his servants, the prophets, in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel. Verse 8, then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stood on the sea and on the earth. So the seven, there's a good, what should I say, consensus, especially amongst theologians, that this book is already, is the scroll that was mentioned in chapter 5. The seven seals have been opened up already, and the trumpets have blown. The book is open. This scroll, this little book is open. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. When you take something and you eat it, and so what happens to whatever you eat? What's happening at that point when you eat something? It's getting digested. John, I want you to digest what I'm giving to you at this point in time. I want you to digest it. As it is, it's going to be sweet to your mouth, initially in your mouth, but when it gets down to your stomach, it's going to get bitter. And so basically it's saying, hey, The revelation of the Lord to John is there's a sweetness about it, but when it comes to the continued digesting, is that there is a bitterness. And usually, well, let me just read on. Verse 10, then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. It's like, that was part of where I was at. When I was in the hospital, it's like before I was going, it's like, oh, my stomach, my lower abdomen. It's like, this is not good. And so, I don't know, I thought I had eaten something that that was tainted or whatever, but my stomach was like, it was a bitterness that's like, it doesn't feel good. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. So basically, the Lord is saying, you're going to have to prophesy. You're going to prophesy what is going to happen in the next 3.5 years and beyond. And so we have the rest of what is going to happen that is mentioned again. It starts in chapters 12 and goes right to the end of what is still to come. All right? Now, this fact about prophesying, tonight we had prophecy take place. So there's a word that was given to two individuals, and there's a word given to us generally. You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. The thing is this. We might say John, and this is not John the Baptist. This is John, the disciple of Jesus, that had the revelation of Jesus. When I think about it, like there's a lot of people that don't like to touch the book of Revelation. I don't understand everything. I don't understand. And so they just stay away from it. But the Lord is saying, hey, not just to John that you're going to prophesy, but to every single one of us, the scroll that God has for your life needs to be unfurled and it needs to be played out. Because you and I don't care what your background, I don't care what your capabilities, you have an opportunity to impact others. Lord, can I impact others? Hey, Pastor, you don't know my past. This today? So Daniel and I had the privilege of being with John Dow, or Michael Dow, who was here on Sunday. And we had an opportunity then to hear. I had asked just one question, and with that one question, I found out the life of his wife and of John, or Michael, sorry. And it was like one question, and it was like, how, Anna, did you meet your husband? How did that come about? And she began to share how that came about and find out that Michael was, when she had first met her husband to be, she was only 15 years of age. First time, and the Lord already spoke, this person is going to be your husband. And she mentioned it to somebody and she says, how can this be? And at that time, Michael had tattoos, he had rings all over his face, he had cuttings. Why? Because he was part of a gang. He had many runnings in with the police and authority and all of that. And so here it was like, okay, I never would have expected this background from this individual, this man of God. And same thing with you. We might say, Lord, but look at who I am. What can I do? And I'm telling you at this point in time, our present, as we are just allowing God to work through us, will impact the future of others, or can. So Donna, just want to say, you, without saying too many words, have already impacted your husband. And he has come to the Lord because of you. Almost without a word. Come on, yeah, that's right. Give the Lord a hand. I just thank you, Jesus. I just say thank you, Lord. This was just in the recent past where I heard this. I say, oh, man. And so there's changes taking place in your husband. And I look forward to that day when he'll come in and he'll be sitting right beside you. I've met her husband, and I would just say, hey, what a good man. And now he's not just a good man, he's born again. He's born of God. We have opportunity to impact others. Our future will impact others. You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. So the question is this, is my life impacting others? Sometimes the things we need to say to others is not always pleasant. Sometimes this bitterness, it's like, oh, okay, that's not a good word. Lord, it's not necessarily pleasant, but man, is it beneficial? When we speak things that are of the Lord, that may be to change a person's course, and sometimes it's not necessarily pleasant, but we go ahead and we do it. There is nothing like telling somebody that is lost the right way. There is nothing like warning someone that is headed for destruction that they are headed for destruction. And so sometimes I don't want to hurt their feeling. I'll tell you right now, if you didn't know that you were headed for destruction, I'm talking about your life and potentially your eternity, Wouldn't you want somebody telling you that, hey, you're headed for an eternity without God? And sometimes a response is not a positive response. And sometimes what has to happen is for that seed to be sown into a heart and for somebody else to come along and water it, for it to begin to have fruit in somebody's life. You and I have opportunity to impact other people's lives. There is nothing like a doctor saying, hey, this is your condition, this is where you're at, and this is what can be done. Do you want some help? Or confessing fault to another, that there is prayer that goes up to heal the sick, to see that their sins are forgiven and that there would be healing that would come to the sick. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. If salt loses its flavor. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Our lives impacting others. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Can we stand together? Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, this is the power of God within you, the Spirit of God within you, God within you, the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, it cost him his body broken and his blood shed for us, to make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I just want, as we close tonight, I want you to begin to pray. Lord, let me be light. Let me be a salt. You know who you even love that is close to you. Lord, let me make an impact on my father or mother. Let me make an impact on my brother or sister. Let me make an impact on my relatives. Let me make an impact on their lives. Let me be a light. Let me be salt to them. Lord, that I can see them come to Christ. My friends, my neighbors, the person randomly that I meet up with, that the Lord puts beside you, like I was for 5 days with one person, to impact their life, to speak into their life, just as the Holy Spirit would lead you and me. Holy Spirit is within you as a believer, and he wants to help you to be that witness, to be that light. So tonight, as we close, I want you, if you want to team up with somebody close by, that there would be maybe two or three of you gathered together. Don't make it a big, big group. All I want you to do is begin to agree in prayer, Lord, let me make an impact on somebody else by your Spirit. By your Spirit. You may want to name names. You go ahead and do that. But let's take, I don't know, the next 7 or 8 or 9 minutes, we'll see. But I want you to get into groups of 2 or 3, and I want you to begin to pray to make that impact. Okay? Can I just have you move? If you need to move, feel free to move.
Hey, Lighthouse family. Thanks for tuning into this message. We hope that it encouraged you, challenged you, and reminded you that you're not in this journey alone. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook to keep up with all the exciting events that are happening at Lighthouse. There's a lot more sermons for you to check out wherever you're listening. Thanks again for joining us.